Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
All the suffering in this world is because of sin. Satan is behind all the pain and the suffering. But Jesus did something about it. And we have the responsibility to tell the world that they don't have to suffer. They don't have to be lost and broke down and beat up and in poverty and diseased and depressed and live a sad, grieving life. It's our job to preach this gospel to the world, to tell the world the good news that Jesus is alive. And he did something about your situation. If you're bound, you don't have to stay bound. If you're sick, you don't have to stay sick. If you're poor, you don't have to stay poor. If you're in trouble, you can get out of trouble. If you're depressed, you can get into joy. That's good news. Jesus gave his own personal testimony. And then finally, we have the testimony of countless millions that are walking the earth today who have had an encounter with him personally, that he has revealed himself to them. How can you have millions of people that say they met Jesus if he ain't real? Millions that say, I invited Jesus into my life, and he saved me, and he delivered me, and he set me free. We have the testimony of millions. Even in this room here today, we have the testimony that say that, hey, I know him. He's alive because he showed himself to me. I know him. Now, you might not believe I know him, but I don't care whether you believe it or not. I know what I believe. I know he's revealed himself to me. You see, the Bible says they that believe have the witness in themselves. I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in me that tells me that I am a child of God. Does heaven exist? Yes, it exists. Is Jesus real? Yes, he's real. Is Jesus alive? Yes, he's alive. Why? Because of the evidence of changed lives. I got the evidence. I remember one time I was sharing my faith with a guy I worked with, and I would go by and I would witness to him regular. Because this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher in a church, and he had stopped going to church. He had lost his faith, no longer believed. Grew up in church, Sunday school teacher, no longer believed. So regular, I would go by and see him. And I just stand there and I hold conversation with him. And then I'd share my testimony with him. One day he asked me, he said, well, how you know you didn't just make up your mind that you wanted to change? And you just changed on your own. How do you know you didn't do it? I said, because I had tried for years to change on my own. And I couldn't. I said, I have to give God the credit and the glory. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. I said, it wasn't until I surrendered to Jesus that the power of the gospel was released in my life. Paul said, I have chosen not to glory in anything else except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto it. He said, I lost my life to this world. And you know what? I would sit there and the Holy Ghost would come on this man while I'd be talking to him, and you could just see everything in him, God dealing with his heart so strong. And then sometimes he'd just turn around and just walk off from me, because the words that I was sharing with him had the witness of the Holy Spirit in them. And a man cannot deny the witness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he may not accept it, but I'm going to say this here. He is able to recognize it even though he won't accept it. You know when somebody's telling you the truth. And we have the Spirit of truth in us that when we speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is with us bearing witness to our testimony and telling that other person, you know they're telling you the truth. So they might not want to receive the truth and they might ignore it, but at least now their eyes have been opened and they have seen the truth for sure. I'm going to tell you, we got the evidence that Jesus is alive. I got the greatest evidence. You see, the greatest evidence to me is not what John and Paul said. It's not even what the angels declared. It is what God has done for me. That's the greatest evidence to me, is what he did for me. Amen. Your greatest evidence of the resurrection will be your life that has been changed by an awesome God who loved you and gave Jesus for you. Praise God. Now, what do you do in response to this? What do you do in response to all you've heard? What do you do? Let me tell you what you do. Jesus said this. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Repent means to change your mind. It means to change your way for the better. I'm going to change how I'm living for the better. I'm repenting. I'm changing. I'm coming to myself. I'm willing, in light of all that Jesus did for me, I don't live in sin anymore. I won't live like that. So now I'm going to turn to God. You see, the assignment that God gave the Apostle Paul was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from Satan's power to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in Jesus. So you turn and you go toward the cross. You go toward Jesus. And then you make a decision to believe the gospel. In other words, you believe that Jesus died for you, that God raised him from the dead, that he's alive right now, and that you are willing to surrender your life to him. That means to give up. I surrender my life. I'm going to let Jesus be my manager. I'm going to let him be my Lord now. I'm going to let him be the boss. He's in charge. That's believing the gospel. And then you follow through on that commitment to serve him by getting involved in the kingdom. But first of all, learning everything you can about the kingdom and then connecting with other people that are in the kingdom. And then concentrating on doing his will in your family and even in the church that you're in. You're connected to other people. Hallelujah. He's alive. That's what you do. That's how you respond. You respond positively, not negatively. If you respond negatively, then you're going to let the devil keep on working in your life. And God don't want the devil working in your life. That's why he sent Jesus, because he wants to work in your life. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to work in you his good pleasure. The devil wants to work in you his evil pleasure. He wants you to be an instrument of sin. God wants you to be an instrument of righteousness. Then you have to choose, what kind of instrument are you going to be? It's just that simple. The gospel is simple. It's easy to receive. I got saved in a dormitory room at Southern University on a Sunday morning, March 14, 1982. In 403 A.B. Jesus came in that room and talked to me and gave me a new life. Nobody would ever be able to tell me that I don't know him, because I do. If I said I didn't know him, I would be a liar. He saved me that day because I made a decision to repent. And then the Lord showed me how great his salvation is. The Lord showed me, and I'll close with this. The Lord showed me a giant chalkboard. I was a college student looking at chalkboards every day. That's before computer age. I'm looking at chalkboards every day. So the Lord gave me a vision of a giant chalkboard that's full of my sin. Got all my sins recorded on it. The chalkboard was white. There was no place to even write again. There were sins written on top of sins. And then I had asked the Lord, I said, Lord, can I start my life over? I messed this one up. Will you give me a new beginning? Can I start over again? I want to start over again. Can we erase all the past and let me start from today to live? And then that's when the Lord gave me that vision, and I saw the Lord take a giant eraser. I mean a big one. That eraser represents the blood of Jesus. And he began to wash and clean that chalkboard from the left to the right. I could see him just wiping all my sins right before my eyes, going. And then when he finished, he looked at me and he said, see, I have forgiven you all your sins. They are all gone. I don't remember them anymore. And I say, Lord, you forgave me for all of them? He said, all of them. And then something happened in me. Oh, I'm going to tell you. His presence came in me. And I whispered a prayer, and I said, Lord, help me not to mess the board up again. I don't want to sin no more. I don't want to sin against you. You had great mercy on me. The least I could do is live right for you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to disappoint you, Jesus. Jesus, help me to do your will. Help me not to mess the board up again. And then I found out later that the Bible says you keep the board clean by when you mess up, when you